I don't know about you, but I love worship. I love praising God. I love being in the presence of the Lord. And a few ways that we can do that, and we get into the presence of God, and ways that we hear God speak to us is through prayer and through fasting. And at the beginning of every year, we like to do 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church family. And that is actually starting today. So if you didn't know about it, it's all good. You can jump in and figure out what that means for you. If you're like, hey, I've never done a fast before. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. Let me explain it to you. I'll break it down as simple as I can. A time of prayer and fasting is a dedicated time of giving up something so that you can have more of God. That's really all it is. It's say, hey, a biblical, true biblical fast is actually giving up food of some sort, right? Which there's lots of different things you can fast. You might say, hey, you know what? A lot of my time is spent on Netflix, all right? A lot of my time is spent watching movies or TV shows, or I'm gonna give some of that time up. I'm gonna give all of it up for the next 21 days so that I can really focus in on my relationship with the Lord and hear God's voice more clearly. Devote that time to prayer instead. Maybe you're like, hey, I'm on social media all the time. I'm doom scrolling on TikTok. You know, like, hey, let's get rid of that for the next 21 days. And instead of doom scrolling, come on, let's doom scroll on the Bible and get some hope from Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to take some time to get right with God, start the year off strong. We're going to hear the presence of God better than we've ever heard it before. We're going to hear the voice of God better than we ever heard it. We're going to feel the presence of God more than we ever felt it before. And I just believe that God wants to do something in your family and in our church family as well. Now, there's different kinds of fasts that you can do. You can do a day of the week fast, or you could do a meal fast. You could do a full fast where you just drink water, or juice fast where you only drink juice. There's a Daniel fast where you don't have any meat. You just have fruits and vegetables. And so there's all kinds of different fasts that you can do. But I'd encourage you, if you're saying, hey, I'm going to give up, you know, sodas and coffees or something like that, I encourage you to do something that has to do with food. And here's the reason why. It's because food is actually one of the basic necessities that we need to live, right? And so part of the fast, the idea behind it is that you actually physically, you're crucifying the flesh. And that's what the word talks about many times. We got to crucify the flesh. And the thing that we actually need in order to live, I'm actually going to push that back and say, you know what? All I need is what my Father gives me right now. I just need more of the presence of God. I'm going to sit here in prayer. And my food, like Jesus said, is to do the will of my Father who sent me. And I believe that God has sent you. He's called you. And he has a will and a plan for your life. And so we push that back and say, God, I'm going to take this time to pray. I'm going to take this time to worship. I'm going to grow closer to you. God, would you speak to me during this time? And so we have some resources online. radicalchurch.life/21days. It has a shopping list even for you if you're going to do the Daniel fast, which if you're going to try to go to HEB on a Sunday after church, good luck, right? You know what I'm saying? But if you could go, you could try it and see if you can get some stuff for a Daniel fast. But fasting for kids, we got some resources on there, links that you can kind of click on and learn more about what prayer and fasting is all about. A prayer guide, devotional guide, all that good stuff. So let me pray as we get into this message today. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts today. Open up our eyes, ears, hearts, and minds to receive the word of the Lord. And I pray over marriages, over relationships, no matter what season of life somebody might find themselves in today. I pray that you would encourage them with your word. In Jesus' name, somebody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, we are in week 2 of our series, The Vow. Somebody say, The Vow. Ooh, last week we talked about just vows in general, like what are vows and why do we say them? Why do we need them? And there's vows to God. There's also vows to our spouse. And these are very important. We read some vows last week. I'll do the same here today. But last week was just about vows in general. Today is actually about before the vow. Somebody say before the vow. What does that mean? That means you single and ready to mingle. Come on, any single people in the house today willing to say that you single? Last week I said it. See, we got some high hands right there. Y'all look around, all right? We need some man of God. We need some men of God to raise our hand. We got 4 ladies, okay? Anyway, but hey, listen, you got to look around and find that person. You text, young adults worship night is tonight. I'll see you there, okay? But listen, here's the deal. We're talking about being single today. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does God's word say about being single? And next week is about dating. And then the week after, we're going to start talking about marriage. And then we have a few different vows that I'm actually going to call us to kind of say to our spouse. Maybe you're already married. You're looking to be married. These are vows and things that you need to be thinking about as you're looking to get married one day. So listen, even though you might not be single in the place today, you might be married. How many of y'all know that next week when we talk about dating, you still got to date your spouse, right? Come on now. How many of you know that even though you are married, you still are a single individual and you are 100% you and you still got to work on you, right? Somebody say amen, okay? So all of this applies to everybody. You just got to find the way that it applies to you today. And if you know somebody that's single and single and struggling, then you can send this to them, okay? So, but I said that we were going to make this a recurring bit last week. I didn't have this plan, but I figured, let's do this, okay? So last week I read some vows, and so every week now we're going to read real vows from real people, and that's the name of this bit. Here we go. This is the first one. Ready? When we share nachos, I will let you have all the ones with the meat and cheese on them. Oh, that's good. That is a good spouse right there. Somebody say amen to that. Come on now. I promise to do all of the things that you hate doing, to change every light bulb, to mow the lawn, and to do the taxes. That is a good man right there, ladies. You need that man in your life, okay? Here's one from a lady to a man. We got any Office fans? The Office, the TV show. Come on, you love that? I love it. I think it's hilarious. Okay, here we go. This is so sweet. Thank you for being the gym to my Pam. Aw. Does everybody say aw? If you love the show, you love that. If you don't love the show, you can see yourself out. Okay, here we go. But listen, some of y'all are single in this place today, and some of you love being single. You absolutely just revel in it. You love the time you have to yourself. Some of you wish that you weren't single. You would love to have that person. I'm just looking for my person, right? And some of y'all need to stay single. You know what I mean? Like, you got some work. You got some work to do on yourself, you know, and you should probably stay that way for a little bit. But here's the deal. The Christian community puts a pretty heavy emphasis on marriage, really does. And if you're not married by the time that you're 25, not married by the time you're 30, if you're not married by the time that you are 35, people start asking questions, right? Like, what's wrong with you? You know, you got some problems? Like, what's going on? They start going to the prayer circle and the prayer meeting and asking, I'm just really praying for so-and-so, still single, you know, 26, haven't had 3 kids yet. I don't know what's going on with them. You know, like it's crazy that, and you know, you turn 30. It's like, that's it. You're an old cat lady now. Like, that's it. That's all you got. You have no hope for your future. That's sometimes how it feels like in the Christian community. Maybe in a church that you've been at, especially women, I feel like there's a lot of pressure to be married and to find that man and find that husband and have kids and all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of pressure. And, but I get it though, in a sense, because the Bible does put a pretty heavy emphasis on marriage. It's a good thing. Togetherness, right from the start, the very first thing that God ever said was not good was for man to be alone. The very first thing in all the scripture that God said was not good was that man was alone. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. So God makes the earth and says it is good. Come on, y'all help me out today. God makes the animals and says it is good. God makes the garden and says, it is good. God makes Adam and says, ugh, all men are bad. Oh my gosh. I know you said that before, ladies. Come on, I just cannot. All of the men in the world are just bad, you know? Listen, God saw Adam. This is what I think, honestly. God realized that Adam needed some help, right? I think God saw Adam trying to slice the veggies in the garden to make himself a meal. And he said, man, we need to get a woman up in here. Like, Eve, can you please help this man? He ain't got no idea what he is doing right now. Adam, can you please clean up this garden around here? It's looking like a pigsty. Eve, will you please help this man? Like, listen, sometimes we just need some help, man. We need some help. We need some help. We need a good woman. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And this is why you need us, ladies. Okay, listen here. Because your little feet be cold all night long, and who is going to warm them up under the blankets at night before you go to sleep? That is us. Men say amen, right? We add value to this relationship, okay? We have something to offer. We're literally a warm body, okay? That's it. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Notice it says the guy finds the girl, which makes sense because the girl still can't even find her phone, much less a guy. Come on now. Oh my goodness. Oh, he went there. Hold on, ladies, I got you. I'm so sorry. I had to get one. You know what I mean? Like, I've just been ragging on the dudes this whole time. I had to get one. Hold on. Let me go back. Let me try it again. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Notice it says the guy finds the girl, which is ironic because after he gets married, he'll never be able to find anything in the fridge ever again. Ladies, there you go. Say amen. Come on, there it is. Listen, I'm done. I promise I'm done. But the Bible, it has a high value for marriage. It really does. And there are many verses on marriage. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. And then you have Paul. He's like, you guys should totally stay single, which I think is so funny because everywhere else in the Bible, it's like marriage, marriage, marriage. Paul's like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't need none of that. I'm all right. And in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, it says this, and this is him talking to the Corinthian church. He says, I wish that all of you were as I am. He's talking about being single. But each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Well, hold on a second here, Paul. Why would you say that? Because the rest of the Bible is talking about how marriage is such a good thing. We hold it in high esteem. He finds a wife, finds a good thing. It's not good for man to be alone. And now you're talking about being single, and this is a good thing. So why would he say that? Well, listen, I think there are three reasons, at minimum, at least, why Paul would say to stay single and why singleness is actually a very good thing. And I just think we got to change our perspective on singleness. Single people, sometimes you're just trying to get through that season as fast as you can. You're trying to find whoever that person is, trying to find that husband, trying to find that wife. And you just are trying to rush through it. And there's things that you miss along the journey. There's things that you miss along the way that God wants to get something in you while you're single. God wants to infuse some purpose into you while you are single. He wants to lead you and guide you. And he wants to craft you and mold you while you are single. But I do think also the church, we got to make a shift on how we talk about this season of singleness as well. Sometimes, I don't think that we do this around here, but sometimes there's just this innate pressure to be married. And I think we got to shift a little bit on how we talk about this season. I think the first thing Paul would say about singleness is this. Singleness allows you to serve God more. It allows you to serve God more. Now I got a question for you guys. What do y'all think is the demographic of people who serve the least at Radical Church? The demographic of people who serve the least. Young married couples with young kids. Come on, why is that? Because it's hard, y'all. If you've had little kids, you know what I'm talking about. We got a six-year-old and a two-year-old, all right? They're running around, it's difficult. You got these little munchkins, and there's school, there's t-ball, there's dance class, there's play dates. They're completely dependent on you in every single way, and you're just trying to keep your head above water. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. It's the season that you're in. But don't get me wrong, there's ways to serve God and have kids, all right? Chrissy was just up here singing. She's sitting here in service. Absolutely amazing voice. And they got four kids under five, right? Four kids under the age of five. And this girl's up here serving the Lord. Now, Jonathan's barely alive and awake right now because he had to get all them kids here. Praise God for you, sir, right? But that's what I'm saying. It's hard. It's not easy to serve God when you're married and you got some little kids. You know, it's a little bit easier when you get older, even when you're younger. It's just not as easy as a 20-year-old college student, right? You feel like you're really, really busy. You're not, okay? There's a 30-year-old single girl. There's a 45-year-old divorced man. Or maybe you're a senior adult and, you know, you're an empty nester. The kids are gone. And man, you guys got a lot of time. You can invest into the church and to God and to different things that you feel like God has you doing. There's just time that you have now as a single person, that when you get married, and especially when you have kids, you just don't have that kind of time anymore. Married people with kids say amen, right? 1 Corinthians 7 says this. This is Paul talking. He says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. He's not saying it's wrong. He's just saying, hey, this is just the facts, right? An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord, both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Let me tell you, single people here today, when you are in a season of singleness, you have an opportunity that you will never have again in your entire life, which is to completely devote yourself to serving God, serving the church, and serving others. You'll never get that opportunity again. And I know some of you are just like, man, I would love to be in a relationship. I'd love to be married and all that stuff. And that's great. And if that's a desire of your heart, that's a good thing to have. But listen, the season that you're in right now, you will never have it again, right? And you're able to completely invest yourself into the things of God. What if instead of complaining about it, you just devote yourself more fully to God? You say, hey, God, in this season, I'm going to serve you with everything I have. And I will trust you to bring the right person at the right time in my life. And not only will you have more time to serve God, but then number two, singleness is a season of developing yourself. Singleness is a season of developing yourself. And I'll put it to you this way. I really believe that the health of your future marriage is dependent on how you manage your present singleness. How you manage the time that you have alone. The character that you build during this season where you're by yourself, the integrity that you have now is going to transfer in. If you got a lot of integrity, a lot of character, man, thank God for that because, man, your spouse is going to be really grateful for it. If you don't build that character and develop yourself and mature yourself during this time, you know who's going to pay for it? You, but also your future spouse. And if you're under the impression, man, that you're going to get healthy because of somebody else, right? Woo, then you are approaching this thing all kinds of wrong, okay? Because they might be doing the same thing to you, and then it is not going to be good. Listen, healthy marriages are formed by two people who were healthy before they got married. You got to be healthy before you say yes. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, or in your case, maybe when you became a woman, I gave up childish ways. What is he saying? He said, it's time to grow up, y'all. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to develop yourself. And you have a unique opportunity as a single person, maybe in this place today, to develop yourself and to mature yourself and to grow in your relationship with God in a way that you will never have again. You got to develop yourself now. Man of God, young man of God, stop playing so many video games and go start a business, right? Go do something. Develop yourself. Stop spending all your money. Start saving some money. You think that addiction to watching stuff online is going to go away when you meet the one? No. You're kidding yourself. Develop yourself now. You got to read more books. Go to school. Develop your mind. Go to the gym while you actually have some time to get to the gym. Go do it now. Start some new hobbies. Learn to cook those veggies that Adam could not figure out how to cook. You know, like, just do a new hobby. Figure something out. Develop a strong relationship with God now. Develop your prayer life. Develop your devotional life. Do 21 days of prayer and fasting. Come on, do this stuff now. Because if you don't develop yourself, you will get into a relationship. You will get married. And then you will find yourself sitting across from that person in marriage counseling because you didn't fix yourself before you said yes to them. It's an unfortunate truth. But many people, what they do is they get married and they bring all their baggage and all their junk to this person. And they say, please help me fix this. And that's not how we need to operate. What do we got to do? We got to say, hey, I have all this stuff. I got all this baggage. I got all these issues. I got all these things that I'm working on in myself. I'm not going to bring it to a person, but I'm going to bring it to my Savior Jesus, who can actually help me, who can really renew my mind and transform me from the inside out, right? You lay it at the foot of the cross and Jesus will help you through that stuff. Listen, mature yourself. Do the self-work now so that you can be the best version of yourself when you finally do meet that person. And if I could put it to you like this, single person here today, do not waste your single season. Do not waste it. It is a gift. You're like, no, it's not. It is. I promise. Married people, be careful if you say amen right there, okay? You're like, hold on. You're like, amen, pastor, that was a gift, right? Hold on, wait, what's wrong with you? You know, anyway, listen, at the end of the day, when you tie the knot, it's not about you anymore. It's just not about you anymore. You have somebody else to think about. When you start having some kids, it's even less about you. Now you really have to start thinking about some other people. Everything in your life doesn't revolve about what you want to do when you want to do it. When you have kids, you have less time for yourself. I just hate to break it to you, but life does not get any easier as you get older. Some people who've been married a long time, live some life. Come on now, you're right there with me. Like, it doesn't get any easier. It's just more people. There's more problems. There's more to think about, more money that's required, and all of it that means it's just you got less time to do what you want when you want. So while you have the time to do whatever you want, when you want, do some things that are good for you. Do some things that are going to mature you. Do some things that are going to develop your mind, soul, your body, and your spirit. Grow closer to God, mature yourself, and then just enjoy the journey because it really is a gift from God. The last thing I think Paul would say about singleness is that you can be single and satisfied. You can be single and satisfied. Now, Emily from the booth was making a joke. And she said, you know, most people just be single and sad. And I'm like, yeah, for sure. But like, you can be single and satisfied. It really is possible. And in desperation, what ends up happening more often than not, okay, is you've been single for a while. Maybe you've been in church for a while. And you kind of feel this pressure or whatever it might be from family, from friends, from yourself. And people will start to lower their standards in order to fulfill that desire in their heart of companionship. And I feel like, well, I don't feel like I'm whole. I'm just waiting for my soulmate. I'm waiting for my partner. I'm waiting for my other half. But here's the deal. Marriage is not half of you and half of me joining together to make 100%. But I am 100% me, and you are 100% you, and then now we gotta somehow fit 200% of us into one flesh. The math ain't mathing, y'all. It's not so easy. And that's what the Bible says, is that two become one. And yet we got two real stubborn people. How are we supposed to do this thing together? How are we supposed to make this work? Like, you know, you grew up that you did all the dishes, but then, you know, your spouse, they actually really like to do the dishes, but they want you to do the laundry. But like, you grew up and your mama did all your laundry and you hate doing laundry, putting away the clothes. Now, why do I got to do laundry? I like doing the, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then you got two different ways of doing things. You got to figure this out. Well, Christmas, you know, I love Christmas. My family always does this big thing for Christmas, and we always have this same food, and we always do it on Christmas Day, and we always, it's so much fun and everything. But then you get married, and it's like, well, my family does this, and then I'd like to go here for my family. But hold on, but what about, you know, we're going to go to my family, right? It's like, well, no, we got to figure this out. It's two whole people, two whole ways of thinking, two whole ways of doing life, and you got to figure out what that looks like together to become one. Many times, single people, you might have this incomplete mentality. Like, hey, I'm 50% of me, and I need that other half. I need that other person. I need that somebody to complete me. And that mentality, if you have it, I believe the enemy will then try to bring somebody into your life that will satisfy your desire for companionship, but will derail you in every other area of your life. Every other area of your life. Well, I finally got this man to lead me. Oh my gosh, this is great. Yeah, he's going to lead you right down the wrong path. Because you lowered your standards. Because your desire for companionship was greater than your desire to please God. You're blinded by this mentality of singleness and brokenness. I finally have a girl that wants me. Yeah, she wants to take you away from godly community. She wants to lead you right down the wrong path. None of your friends like this girl. You ain't listening to none of them. Why are you with this girl? Why don't you listen to somebody else? Maybe he's been around a little bit, right? It's because we have this desire. Sometimes single people, we just get desperate, right? Like, I gotta have somebody. I need somebody. And listen, at the end of the day, we have to get to a place of contentment and satisfaction and knowing that, listen, I got me and God, and that's enough for me right now. I can be single and satisfied. If you've used that single season to serve God and grow in your relationship with him, if you served God's house, you've written the word of God in your heart, you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will be able to discern what is from God and what is not from God. You'll be able to discern, more importantly, y'all, who is from God and who is not from God. Somebody say amen. Come on now. Sometimes that woman, sometimes that man is a demon in the flesh. You know what I mean? They're trying to lead you down that wrong path, and you have to be able to discern. You got to be able to know. This is what Romans 12:2 says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve if that man is good for you. Right? Is that not what it says? Okay, but listen, this is it. You'll be able to test and approve that girl that you met on Instagram. You'll be able to test and approve, is this person from you, God? You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you've used that season to develop yourself, you've dealt with your trauma, you've dealt with your past, you sharpened your mind, you saved your money, you know your identity in Christ, you got a purpose that isn't dependent on any other person, you'll be able to sniff out the plan of the enemy and say, no, this person is not for me. And when the enemy comes to tell you, and I know that he does, single person here today, and you know what? You're not enough. You're broken. You got too much baggage. You're unlovable. You're too old. You've been divorced. Who's gonna want me? Never been married. Why has nobody loved me? Why does nobody care for me? These are the things that will creep into your mind. These are the intrusive thoughts of the enemy. It just is what it is. Listen, you might think to yourself or hear from the enemy, you're not gonna amount to anything. Nobody loves you. Listen, all these thoughts, you're going to be able to look the devil in the eyes. When you have done the work, when you developed yourself, developed your relationship with God, you look him straight in the face and say, listen, I know who I am. I know I'm loved by God. I know I'm loved by Jesus. If I have Jesus, I have everything I need. I'm good. I can be single and satisfied. I'm whole. And I just think somebody in here today might be struggling with the season of singleness. And I want to take some time to pray for you. You just got this deep desire to find your person to be married. That's a good desire. It's a good thing. You know, Paul said it's good to stay single. The Bible talks a lot about marriage. But what did he say? He said some have the gift of being married and some have the gift of being single. And both are good things. But if you're in this place and, man, you're like, I got a really deep desire. I want to be married. I want to find that person. And I just feel like I'm really struggling right now in this season. I wish that I wish I had that love, you know, that I see other people have. I believe it's coming your way one day. I really do. It's a desire you have in your heart. This is what the Lord says. He hears the desires of your heart. And that is a good desire. That is a desire that would be in the will of God. And I believe that if you could just shift your mindset, develop that relationship with God, just keep serving the church, keep serving others, keep developing yourself. I just believe that God will give you that thing that you desire one day. And man, when you get that relationship, when you get married, it will be the most life-giving relationship that you have ever had. Right underneath your relationship with God is that relationship with your spouse. Right underneath that is your kids. And man, we're gonna talk about how people get all that messed up. Sometimes people put kids all the way at the top. Sometimes people put their spouse at the top and it kind of gets backwards. We'll talk about all that stuff. But today, I need to talk to somebody. Maybe, you know what though? You might even be married in this place. We got a lot of married people at Radical. And you might actually still feel that same way. You could be married and feel lonely. You can be married and feel unlovable or unloved. You could be married and, you know, we talk about that roommate phase. You just kind of two single people really doing your own thing. But you kind of strayed away from this one flesh and you kind of became two single people again, not really working together, but you're just kind of struggling right now. Listen, I want to encourage you today that there is hope for you. God wants this relationship to be absolutely life-giving, joy-filled, but it all has to start with him in the middle of it. We got to get on our knees and pray. During this next 21 days, man, if you're single or you're married, you're dating, man, I just encourage maybe as we go through this, we've never done 21 days of prayer and fasting and a relationship series at the same time. Maybe the reason for that is that God wants to, during this next 21 days, establish new relationships that are going to be good for you. He wants to bring somebody into your life that's going to be good for you, single people, man. Maybe there's somebody... You guys have been dating for a while and you need for the next 21 days to pray on if this is the person for me. Some of y'all need to make that commitment. We'll talk about dating next week. Some of y'all are in a marriage and it's unhappy, unfulfilled, and you're just not doing well. Maybe for this next 21 days, you pray together and ask that God would heal what has been broken. And so I want to pray for each and every one of you today. Would you stand up with me? Bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for every person in here today. No matter what season of life they're in, single, dating, married, divorced, God, there's every kind of situation, every kind of relationship, it's all represented here. And Lord, I pray right now that the same way that Paul wrote in Philippians, that he was content in every season. I have learned to be content in every season. He's writing this in prison, Lord. I can be content in prison. I can be content when I'm free. And I think somebody's here, they need to be content in that season of singleness. And Lord, I pray that you would help them find that contentment. There's somebody here that just needs to be content in their marriage. And God, would you make that thing whole again? Lord, in the dating relationship, or maybe somebody's divorced and they have no hope right now. God, I pray that they would find contentment and hope and joy, no matter what season that they find themselves in today. That contentment and joy doesn't come from a relationship with a person, but it only comes from the relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that as they give their life fully to you, and as they devote themselves to you, and for a marriage here today, that if they devote themselves to you together and they become that one flesh again, God, I pray that you would heal some things that are broken. For a single person that's struggling today, God, I pray that you would help them to see the gift of singleness that they have right now, to flip their perspective, to flip their mindset, and know that even if they have this desire to get married, that right now is a season I'll never get back, and I'm gonna enjoy it, I'm gonna be developed, I'm gonna be infused with purpose from on high, I'm gonna be infused with hope and love and joy from on high, and that when I meet that person, man, I am going to be the best version of myself for them. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that for a single person today. And I just pray for all of our relationships over the next 21 days as we pray and we fast. God, be able to hear your voice, feel your presence, and grow in our relationship with you and others. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's give God some praise today. I hope the word has blessed you. Next week, we're talking about dating. Come on. And even if you are married, I said it earlier, you know when you're married, you still got to date your spouse, right? Come on now. So next week is also for you. We'll see you then. God bless you.